Welcome to Waypoint Real Talk, where we discuss real estate and your home. Let's get started with your hosts, Aaron Shishilla and Austin Hines.
Everyone, and welcome to Waypoint Real Talk. My name is Aaron, and today we have an awesome podcast talking about the top things that fail, quote unquote, fail a home inspection. So today we have Crystal Brady.
Hi.
Hey, Crystal. So can you tell us, is a home inspection actually pass fail? Let's get that out of the way first, and
okay.
Then we can just jump right into it, okay?
That sounds great. So a lot of people do say, did my home pass? And I know they ask you guys that too. They ask me that question as well. And there is no true pass fail. The home inspection is definitely for the buyer's knowledge so that they know the things that need to be addressed in that home. Sometimes before they move in, if they're hazardous, or just things they want to be aware of maybe going forward. So there is no actual pass-fail, and most of us are using the as-is contract. So that inspection is really for informational purposes for the buyer to decide if they feel like it's a pass-fail for them based on the findings. So if they're uncomfortable with the findings, then I'm going to call that a fail, you know? And that means maybe they don't buy that house. But if they are comfortable, then in essence, it passed. So there is no true pass-fail that the home inspector is going to say, well, this failed. It's really up to the buyer.
Awesome. So we're going to discuss the top things that quote unquote fail a home inspection. We'll dive into detail into each one. Crystal's going to mention, you know, what she sees, what buyers are thinking about, what she typically recommends as far as what you're doing with some of the items that, you know, maybe Waypoint Property Inspection finds or your home inspection finds. But to start, let's get into actually the four-point inspection, because with the four-point inspection, I know it's a little bit different than the actual home inspection, but it could be pass or fail. And some of the items in the home inspection are actually caused from the four-point. So
yes.
Can you discuss, you know, real quick, what's the four-point inspection? Why is it more pass-fail than the actual home inspection?
Right. So instead of just a general overview of the whole home and any deficiencies that could be present, the four-point is for insurance purposes, and that's what makes it different. And because it's for in the actual insurance company and they're going to be reviewing that inspection report, it could actually be more of a pass-fail situation because any deficiencies or problems noted on that four-point inspection are going to create an issue with you moving forward with your homeowner's insurance. And if you can't get insurance, you can't get your mortgage. And if you can't get your mortgage, you can't buy the house. So in essence, a four-point inspection is a lot different in that it actually could be what we say failing, because if there's deficiencies noted, those really need to be addressed. So let's talk about what the 4 points actually are. What are the 4 points? You want to hit that one since you're the home inspector?
Yeah. So we got the roof, HVAC, which is your AC and heating. Then you have electrical and finally plumbing. So let's just start with the first one, which is typically we see roof issues.
Yes.
And they say roof issues are going to fail your home inspection, fail your 4 point. What do we see here with that?
So roof is the big player. Everybody always wants to know, how old is the roof? How much time do I have on it? Are there any problems with it? Is it leaking? All of those sort of things. And all of those questions are kind of answered on the 4 point. The home inspector is going to assess the age, the condition, if there's any problems like lifting or curling shingles, if there's any roof leaks present or deterioration, or I don't know, you can probably think of some more things, things like that that are going on with the roof. In the past, it was not too bad. We used to get about 20 years for a three-dimensional shingle and about 15 years on a three-tab shingle for insurance purposes. If the roofs were that age or younger and in good condition, the insurance company is good with that. But unfortunately, recently, in the last couple of years, there have been lots of claims for roofs in the state of Florida specifically. So what's been happening is normal wear and tear, right? House roof is maybe 15 years old, maybe it's 20 years old, and it's really kind of time to replace it just because of normal wear and tear, not because of a hurricane or anything wind related. But there'll be a little afternoon storm that'll come in, and roofing companies will start knocking on doors and saying, there was a storm, we can make a claim on your homeowner's insurance, and we can get you that roof for free if we just file a claim. So these roofers have sort of taken advantage of homeowners in doing that. They're making claims on their insurance, and now it's created an issue where all of our insurance in the state of Florida has increased. If you've noticed your rates going up, roofs are a big reason why they've been going up this last year or two. And so unfortunately, now insurance companies have dialed back and said, you know what? Most of them, most private carriers are saying if a roof is 10 years old or older, we don't want to insure it. And that's not particularly an old roof, right, Aaron?
No. I mean, 10 years. I mean, I would want to get at least the 3 years of life left if I was a homeowner, say 3 to 5 if it's a 3-tab year shingle. But the funny thing is the 4-point inspection actually came from the same thing. People were filing roof claims. And in 1992, Hurricane Andrew came through. Yeah. And because there were so many roof claims, insurance was totally caught off guard that they had to develop some type of inspection to give them that breathing room to understand how old are these roofs, when are people actually filing for these roof claims, and how can we protect ourselves as a business so that way we just don't go bankrupt on having to pay all these roofing claims.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so with the 4-point specifically, typically homes that are 25 years old or older, the insurance company will require that 4-point. Now, in regards to roofs specifically, though, when you do a new purchase and you apply for new insurance, even if your house is less than 25 years old, one of the underwriting questions is still, how old is your roof? So it's going to be on their radar, the insurance company's radar. And if that roof is over 10 years, unfortunately, a lot of companies don't even want to insure you, which really limits your options. But if you do have an older roof, there's Citizens is a great option. And they are what people often call a last resort insurance carrier, but they are government run and they actually have some excellent rates, and they will insure roofs up to 25 years old, actually, as long as they're in good condition. And the home inspector will say on a 4-point that there's 3 years of life expectancy or more. So there are still some options if you're a buyer and you're looking to purchase and the roof is maybe 15, 20 years old and the other carriers aren't interested, you can go try to get it with Citizens and see if that would be an option.
What are you seeing that buyers are typically doing and sellers interacting? Obviously, right now we have a really weird market.
Yeah.
So how is it? How are these things happening right now versus, you know, how they were interacting beforehand, maybe 2 years ago before the pandemic?
Yeah. So it's such a seller's market right now that sellers are not really agreeable to do very much, if anything, at all. Where maybe in the past they would consider doing some roof repairs or maybe even negotiating for a replacement into the cost of the home or something like that where the buyer's paying a little more. But now, unfortunately, sellers are very hands-off. You know, they're kind of saying, take it or leave it. And we've got a bunch of people lining up to buy this house. If you don't want it and you can't deal with the roof situation, we've got other buyers that will. And so that's why it's important for buyers to know their options. And if insurance is a little bit of a struggle, maybe how they can get around it. Some companies will do exceptions to insurance, which is another way you can kind of get around it. If everything else is perfect, but there's like one deficiency on the 4-point, they'll give you 30 days after closing to remedy that as the new buyer to have your insurance coverage so you can get in and get the house. But it's definitely changed. Sellers are hands off and they don't want to get involved. They don't want to do anything. So buyers need to be aware. They definitely need to ask lots of questions when they're looking at the home. Let's figure out how old that roof is. At least eyeball it, you know, before the inspector comes out. And then obviously you guys are going to dig into, is there problems, you know, minor problems with it? Maybe if we know that it's a younger roof, for example, you know, are the shingles in good condition? Are there any lifting shingles or missing shingles, things like that?
Right. Yeah, I think that's super important. It's unfortunate right now with what's going on that, you know, it is a seller's market and sellers get to decide what's going on with the transaction.
Yep.
You know, and before it was a much more, would you say, balanced where buyers could request repairs if they needed it.
It was better. It was still a seller's market previous to the COVID situation and our current severe shortage, because we still had a shortage the last 5 years we've been in a shortage, but it was easier to negotiate 4-point related repairs and repairs in general. Most sellers, if they have a good real estate agent, you know, understand the importance of the 4-point, and if most of the buyers looking are financing and they need to get at that insurance, sellers do need to try to cooperate. I mean, I counsel my sellers to cooperate with minor repairs. Obviously, I would tell my seller, don't do a whole roof, you know, just find a buyer that'll deal with it. But minor repairs, I would advise them, let's go ahead and take care of that. You know, most of the people looking at your house need to get insurance and a mortgage. And so this is going to keep coming up. So, you know, with minor stuff, it's a lot easier, but it's gotten harder. You're right. But it was still difficult previous, I think, to this whole situation as well. It's never been very easy because we've always kind of been in a seller's market for many years.
Right. Okay. So let's move on to HVAC.
Yeah.
Now, with HVAC, big point in the 4-point inspection as well.
Yes.
In general, what are we looking for here? And I know some of the technical aspects I can talk on, but...
Yeah. Basically... It's on the 4-point inspection, as you pointed out. So that AC needs to be working, blowing cold, and not having any issues. And I mean, I know that the issues I see mostly are usually like maybe ceiling issues, maybe tears in ductwork, or like around the plenum differentials, which maybe you can explain. That's probably the big one I see the most. Yeah. How about you? And maybe explain differentials.
Yeah, I would say differentials. I mean, it's two things, right? You're checking to make sure the cooling is working properly. You're checking and making sure that the unit is heating properly.
Yes.
Those are your two main factors.
Yep.
And as far as cooling and heating, we like to look for temperature differentials, the temperature of the air going into the unit, so the return, and then the temperature of the air coming out of the unit. Some home inspectors go by a temperature differential of 14 to 22. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they say 14 to 24. It really depends on, you know, what kind of documents you're looking at for what they want to go off of. Usually you can say stretch it to 24 degrees. So if the temperature of the air is cooling by 24 degrees or by at least 14 degrees, you're in good shape. If it's cooling by only 13 degrees, say the temperature of the air into the unit is, you know, 75, but coming out, it's say like 62, to where, what, that's 12 degrees. It's not cooling as it should be.
Right.
So it's going to be flagged on the 4-point. And then from there, where do you see the buyer going, or maybe the seller going, as far as what they can do to kind of remedy this issue?
Definitely would encourage the seller to call an AC company and see if some servicing, and, you know, just have them look over the system and see if there's anything that can be optimized to get it back into that differential range that we need, so it's looking good on the 4-point. Mm-hmm. That's typically my first move. If I typically don't get too much pushback from sellers on that, because it's not usually a very expensive thing, not like replacing a whole roof. So in most cases that works out okay.
Yeah.
And it and for the 4-point as well, they don't care how old the air conditioner is. They only care that it's working. So that's another kind of nice thing, at least right now, that they haven't gotten too strict on underwriting with that. If it's an older unit, that's fine as long as it runs and the differentials check out and it's cooling and heating. That's mm-hmm. really what you need.
Yeah. That makes sense. I usually like to recommend to sellers or even homeowners to have the unit serviced at least once a year. Typically, they recommend twice a year, but you yes. can imagine if you're a seller and you're going to sell your home, if you have the unit serviced, you could just run by all these issues by just having the unit serviced before the home inspection.
Yes.
So then that way, when we get there, it's already working well.
Absolutely. That's a great recommendation. And just doing some other sort of pre-listing checks, you know, of things that are commonly seen on 4-points. I always know when I go for a listing appointment, I kind of walk around and, you know, check things out a little bit, because I've seen enough 4-points to know what might come up. And if I start to see things, I'll point them out right away and encourage the seller to go ahead and just take care of that before we put it on the market.
What kind of things are you looking for?
I check the water heater just to see if like the piping is correct. I will check the breaker box to see what kind of panel we have and if there's any obvious things I can see, you know, just by opening it up without taking it all apart like you guys do. Also walk around and just look for like any exposed wiring or things like that I know could get flagged. Plumbing, to a certain extent, depending on maybe the type of plumbing, I might want to kind of check that out, because I know that can be problematic with insurance. And obviously roof. I mean, I just eyeball the roof from the street, but if it like looks really old or it's got a bunch of patches, that's, you know, definitely going to lead me to some questions to the seller.
Yeah. I like that you do that. And I think that's really important for sellers to, you know, work with an agent that's actually going to look for these things ahead of time.
Yep.
Just because getting ahead of these things is going to be a whole lot less stressful on the actual negotiations or the actual contract.
It just makes the process so much smoother. And you guys also can do an inspection for the seller.
Yeah.
As like a pre-listing type inspection, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. So getting into, as you mentioned, the electrical, right?
Yes.
The third point of the 4 point.
Yes.
So with electrical, what are you seeing here that we're running into that's quote unquote failing a home inspection?
Okay. I don't know about you, Aaron, but this is to me the biggest sticking point on most 4 point inspections is electrical. I feel like I see more electrical issues on 4 points than any of the other 4 points.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So you already know probably what I'm going to say. And I, you know, I'm sure it's a similar experience for you doing the inspections. I see a lot of, it's usually minor, I'm going to say, with electrical, but sometimes it's a myriad of minor things like outlets that aren't grounded or don't work properly, not properly with, you know, GFI protection, the wrong panel. That's a big expensive one. Double taps, you know, things like that. And you can maybe explain a few of those things, but the panel, if you want to talk about that for a second, that can be really problematic. And that's why I go when I'm selling a house, whether I work with the buyer or the seller, I always check out the electrical panel before you guys show up to do your inspection. I just want to know if I'm about to have a problem. Because there's certain panels that are prohibited by the insurance companies mm-hmm. for the 4 point. So with that, I'm going to read off the panels because if you have these in your house, then you know it might be a problem if you're thinking about selling. Federal Pacific, Zinsco, Sylvania, and Challenger. Insurance companies do not like those four brands of panels. That's the actual brand. So when you open up the panel, it's going to say Challenger on it or GE or whatever it is. So if you have one of those four, unfortunately, insurance companies do not want to insure your home. You are now left with Citizens Insurance as probably one of your only options if you are not going to change that panel out. So just keep that in mind. However, Citizens still has underwriting guidelines. So if those panels are present, but there's also a bunch of other electrical issues wrong, then they're not going to want to insure it unless that panel is in good working condition. So you can have the Challenger panel, but you can't have exposed wiring or double taps or missing breakers or any of those other things. If you do, it has to be deemed by you, the inspector on the 4 point, in good working order if it's that brand for Citizens to take it. So you have to be really careful. Electrical can be a big sticking point.
Yeah.
What do you see with electrical? Same kind of stuff?
Same kind of stuff. I would definitely agree with you. The other thing I would mention is also fuse boxes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we don't really see them as often.
Yep.
But if you do have fuses, again, insurance companies are going to want those upgraded to circuit breakers. If you want to read about, by the way, any of these electrical panels to see if you actually have one of these brands, you could just search it on our website, waypointinspection.com. Just search the name of the brand, Federal Pacific, Zinsco, Sylvania, or Challenger, or fuse boxes. It'll come up with a huge article with tons of information. But then, as you mentioned, it's not just these electrical brands that could cause issues.
Yes.
You know, it's tiny little safety issues.
Right.
It's things like GFCIs not working properly, exposed wiring, cloth wiring, which is just outdated or older wiring.
Let me stop you right there with cloth wiring.
Yeah.
I just want to make a note about that because I learned this as I was doing a little bit of research with my insurance agent to talk to you today.
Mm-hmm.
Cloth wiring can be insured by Citizens.
Really?
Yes. And I did not know that. As long as it's in good condition with no issues, which you probably don't see a lot.
Yeah.
Cloth wiring in good condition with no issues. But if you ever do, it's possible it could be insured.
You know, the funny thing is about that, when I did research on the blog for cloth wiring.
Yes.
It said insurance companies don't like cloth wiring because it's been repaired, chewed on, unprofessionally worked on.
Yeah.
Improper junctions, etc. So it's funny that you mention they'll accept cloth wiring as long as it's in good condition because more likely than not, it's not in a good condition because it's just too old.
It's just too old and it's been updated and piecemealed together along the way, right? That's like sounds like what you're describing.
Exactly.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. And the same thing goes with, as you mentioned, double taps. With those same things, it's unprofessional workmanship. People just go in there. They don't do things properly. They try to cut corners a little bit. And with that, you just run into some electrical safety issues that the insurance company is going to want fixed.
Yes. So it all comes down to the 4 point and what other deficiencies are noted. Sometimes those prohibited panels, like we talked about, the Federal Pacific and Zinsco and all that, they are they are in good condition and there are no other deficiencies and they work just fine, but just that name is on there and a lot of insurance companies don't like that. So if that's the situation, then you could still get insurance through Citizens and that would be a great option for a buyer.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So moving on to the fourth point, which is plumbing.
Plumbing, yes.
Yes. Let's talk about plumbing, what you see the majority of the time with plumbing issues on a four-point.
Yeah, I mean, usually the plumbing is all good as long as it's not leaking. That's kind of my experience. So unless we're talking about the older plumbing situation, like what, your cast iron, your galvanized, but assuming we're just like, you know, copper, PVC, like those situations, as long as it's not leaking, it's usually good to go. But if you have known plumbing leaks, like under sinks or things like that, you need to take care of that if you're a seller and you're getting ready to put your house on the market, because that's definitely going to come up and that's a quick, easy thing you can fix. So yeah. That's usually what I tell my sellers in preparation.
Yeah. What do you know about the TPR valve and the discharge tube?
Oh, at the water heater.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do look for that in my little like pre-listing inspection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know it has to have the pipe, you know, that goes all the way down and terminates near the ground.
There you go.
And a lot of times it's missing. So yep. If it is, I do give a heads up to my seller about that as well. And that's a very popular four-point item. Yeah. I see that on a lot of four points.
Yeah. I mean, it's important. It's one of those things that you need to make sure it's there. Otherwise, I mean, water heater could technically be a ticking time bomb at that point, right?
Yes.
If it's not working properly.
I have a seller getting ready to sell an older home that I know will require a four point, and I looked all around for her water heater and could not find it. Finally, I asked her, I said, where's your water heater? She had enclosed it in a cabinet, and it, like, you couldn't. And I said, well, we need access to this. Like, I need to see it. The inspector needs to see it, you know, and all of that. So it'll be interesting when we open that up to see if there's a pan, if there's a valve, what it looks like and all of that.
If
you know,
it's leaking.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. We close it off, but, you know, it's unfortunate. We kind of need to see that, especially the TPR discharge tube.
Yes. Well, and I knew that an inspector would need to check that.
Yeah.
So that's why I said, okay, we've got to figure out a way to open this up where we have access to it.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. So definitely one of the last things on the four-point was the plumbing. One thing that we didn't mention with that, so you mentioned some of the drainage pipes, right? Cast iron, galvanized, which is actually supply piping. You can have other drainage issues that occur. But what about polybutylene?
Oh, yeah. Insurance companies do not like poly. They will not insure you. And if your house has poly, it needs to be replumbed. That's kind of the bottom line. I don't really know any insurance carriers that will cover poly. There might be one or two, and the rates are probably really high, and they're going to exclude water damage. So you're literally getting really inferior insurance. Poly is a problem. Nobody likes it, and it needs to be remedied.
What do you typically see? So in all these, do you see the seller and the buyer kind of working together? Is it more so the seller paying for the repairs of or the placing of the polybutylene?
Yeah, you know, I haven't had one in a while, and not in this current market. That's definitely something that a buyer would probably walk away from if a seller didn't want to fix it. Mm-hmm. And if the buyer was willing to fix it, they would have to try to find an insurance company that would insure them, maybe excluding the water damage or give them an exception just to get them through closing, to get them into the house. I wouldn't be surprised, though, in the current market if the seller would say, you know, I'm not doing it. It's going to be back on the buyer. But replumbing a house is not cheap.
Yeah.
You know, that's cutting a lot of holes in walls. And a long permitting process and it very extensive. It's hard when a house is existing to replumb. So that's definitely one, honestly, I tell my buyers to run from.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay. So moving to outside of four point, right? Structural issues. You have on your notes, buyer beware, especially if it could be sinkhole related. Could you talk on your experience with structural issues, what you're seeing from this?
I haven't seen a lot of structural issues in my time. You do way more inspections than I do that I get to attend. So you probably have more to say about your findings. But I just know that structural issues obviously are serious. They're costly typically. I have seen a lot of structural issues on the bungalows, you know, because it's a crawl space. And I just feel like there's more opportunity for structural issues with a home like that versus a slab on grade. And so, you know, I've definitely seen them there. They typically are costly, though. And so that's just one of those buyer beware things that I usually will say to people. If the home inspector is calling out structural issues, you better get some estimates, because that's not something that a seller typically will address or fix. It's an as-is contract. And, you know, before you move forward with that purchase, you should get another estimate and make sure that you're comfortable with the findings and what you're going to have to do after you close on that home. And obviously, if those structural issues are stemming from a sinkhole, that's a whole other can of worms that, you know, you might want to run from. Houses with sinkholes, even when they've been remediated, are, you know, sometimes challenging to insure. It could be more costly insurance. If it has an active sinkhole that has not been remedied, you're not getting insurance. Mm-hmm. So that's also going to prevent you from moving forward. So and sometimes those things go hand in hand, which is why I brought up the sinkhole, right, obviously with some structural movement of the home or things like that.
Yeah. What I'm seeing from structural issues is it's generally for older homes.
Yes.
And the other aspect of it, it's unmaintained homes, homes that have unmaintained vegetation. They don't have gutters. You know, they have maybe some drainage issues to where water isn't draining away from the home.
Yeah.
Because if you think Florida is just like a giant sandbar, and this is, you know, the analogy I like to use, when you're standing in the ocean, the waves come up and you sink in the sand. That's the same thing with a house. So if you're not getting the water away from your house is going to eventually fall in like that. It may take a long time,
right,
but that's exactly what we're seeing. And it is expensive to remediate that. As you mentioned.
Yeah, and water intrusion, water causes so many issues. Just like a small little stucco crack, right?
Yep.
If left unaddressed and water gets in there over time, can create a much larger issue with your home. So I'm not surprised to hear you saying that leads to structural problems and that you see that a lot, especially in Florida.
Yep, exactly. Okay, so termite inspections and the VA loans still requiring termite inspections.
Yeah, I kind of had that on the list because obviously termites are a hot button. People are scared of termites, as they should be, since they can create a lot of damage to your home structurally and things like that if they're, you know, eating away at your wood. We always do termite inspections or recommend them, you know, to all buyers. But the VA actually requires a termite inspection as a condition of the loan. So that means if there is active termite activity, the mortgage company is going to know about it. And when they know about it, they're going to want that fixed in order for you to move forward with that purchase. So if the seller is not willing to do it, once again, it's now a problem for the buyer. So just beware if you're doing a VA loan specifically, that that house really does need to get a clean bill of health from the termite inspector or the pest inspector to make sure there's no active termites. We can have damage of past evidence as long as it didn't create a structural issue or something being noted. Just your normal like evidence of past termites is okay, but no active live infestations can be present if we're doing a VA loan. If you're doing the other loans, and you get a little bit of a termite problem, you know, you could fix it after closing. The mortgage company's not really going to know about that. But with VA, they are. So just beware.
Right. What are your overarching or your biggest tips for your buyers and your sellers with all of these issues that you've seen? What are your recommendations for what they needed to do to prepare for these type of issues that arise?
Right. So I think the big thing is, you know, sellers, prepare your home to list, try to take care of all those minor repairs that could come up on a 4-point and be proactive. It just makes the process smoother and easier for you later. That's my tips for sellers. For buyers, I think that you need to obviously do a good inspection, thoroughly review the 4-point, make sure you feel like you can successfully get insurance on that home. If you can't, then you need to try to go to the seller and negotiate. If they won't, then that's your chance to back out, because if you can't get insurance, you can't get a mortgage or move forward with that purchase. If you're fine with the results of the home inspection and you're willing to fix everything, that's great, but you still have to be able to get insurance. So just make sure you can get insurance. Sometimes in certain situations, there's exceptions that you can get where you fix stuff after closing within 30 days to still get insurance, or there's carriers that might charge more money. They'll accept the home with some of those deficiencies. They're going to charge you a lot more, though, which also might affect you qualifying for your mortgage. So all variables you just need to be aware of as a buyer. Consult your real estate agent, review your 4-point inspection, and talk to your lender. And just make sure during your inspection period that you can work all this out and figure it out. Obviously, if there's problems on the home inspection you are not comfortable with under any circumstance, that's your chance to walk if you're doing the as-is contract. And then I guess the home inspection failed at that point.
Oh, no.
It failed for that buyer.
Oh, no. So if there's one recommendation that I'd have to give, mm-hmm. it would be to get an awesome real estate agent like Crystal Brady.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, seriously, get an awesome real estate agent that's really going to know your specific needs. that's really going to understand your specific needs, but then also what they can do with the current market. Because as you mentioned, each market's a little bit different as far as, you know, who is kind of holding the power, right?
Yes. And get an awesome insurance agent, too.
They
need
too.
To understand the underwriting guidelines, the four-point inspection, what options are available to you if you're struggling getting a seller to do repairs and things like that. One of my business partners, Janessa Carrillo with Carrillo Insurance, kind of filled me in on some of the updated underwriting guidelines, and she stays on top of all that, and you need somebody like that. So if you need Janessa's number, give me a call.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on this podcast. I think we had a lot to talk about.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. If there's one thing to remember, a home inspection is not pass or fail. So don't quote that. But definitely all these things I would keep an eye out for. And thank you again for coming on. All right, everybody. Have a good one.